I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show this awesome Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your radio show today. We really appreciate you stopping in and taking a listen. I hope you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend and long weekend this weekend. I just want to, honor those who are fallen, those who have given their lives for our freedom that we have here in the United States, and the families of those who've given their life. I mean, what an awesome place to be. We are so fortunate and so blessed. So take time and honor those who are fallen and honor those who serve our country. That's what this weekend is all about. And we are thankful for them here at I've Decided. So if you've been joining us and you're a member of I've Decided, you know that every week we send out our weekly winning resource, and we focus on a word that we can just kind of stay on track all week. We have a little challenge and motivation to keep us on the track for success. So this week, our weekly winning word is revise. And I love that word because, you know, we need to every now and then take a look at things, see how we can improve it. And I am so excited. I have two of my friends here with me in the studio today, and we are going to be talking about really health insurance and taking a look at, you know, those freedoms that we do have in our country, and being able to make choices for ourselves and being able to look at things and say, hey, is there a better way? And I've gotten to know these ladies, Kristen Mathers. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yes. And now we're getting to know Colleen McMahon a little bit.
Hello there.
We've kind of collaborated together. Hey, Colleen. And we've just been building our friendships based off of insurance here lately. I can't believe how much I have learned over the last year and a half or so, and the education that really, Kristen, that you've bestowed upon me has just opened my eyes to a whole world of new opportunities and new things. And Colleen, I don't know that I ever thought I would meet someone as passionate as Kristen is about health insurance and wellness, but here you are. You're kind of like, oh my gosh, there's two people that's like so passionate about this. And here I am with you, and we are going to chat about that. Obviously, we have some issues going on in our health insurance world, and we need to fix it. We need to come up with some strategies and take care of it before it implodes, really. So can you speak to that a little bit, Colleen?
Sure. I mean, that's an incredibly broad statement. We're very broken on every level in healthcare, and I think we all recognize that. But not to simplify it too much, but something I often say is, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you got. And I think our attempts to modify have just fallen repeated failure. So we need awareness and education on every level within this space. We need our doctors to understand, you know, that they actually have choices. We need the patients to become consumers of healthcare and really understand the options that they have. And they also need to have exposure to how to keep themselves healthy. And I think that's really where Kristen's expertise comes in, and the things that she can do to help educate. It's just educate and awareness on all levels. And I think we're at a really powerful time right now. I think everyone has collectively recognizes just how dysfunctional it is. in a different way than we have before. I think we all talk about different things that happen in government and insurance, what have you, that we don't feel we have control over. But at some point, there's always a tipping point. And I believe that we're there as a country where we now recognize this is beyond repair. And now we have to do something. So we have to take collective action. And it begins with conversations like this to educate our communities to understand that, that there are choices. There really are choices, and the time is now.
Right.
Well, and I also think people feel as though their hands are tied and they don't know what, you know, when you go to the doctor, I use this example in some of my speeches. I had to get an MRI a couple of years ago. And the last time I had an MRI for the same thing, it was $1,000. This time the bills just kept coming. And one of them was the last bill that came was for $1,700 from someplace in Indiana that I'd never heard of. And so I got hit with, you know, the insurance company got hit with their part, but I still got hit with my part, you know, which hit my deductible and hit, you know, everything else. But I, had I known in advance what I was going to be charged, A, and B, where other options might have lay, then I could have said, okay, I'm going to do this instead. But instead, I think we go blindly to our doctors or providers, or this is, well, my doctor said to get an MRI, which hospital or which, you know, which venue. And instead we've got to be educated and understand what other options there are in the marketplace.
Because there are different prices for an MRI. Now, before you and I had conversation, before I met you, Kristen, and I was educated to know this, as just a basic consumer, I just thought everybody charges the same thing for an MRI. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they, right?
Absolutely. And it's completely inconsistent within any one particular community across states. It's all over the place. And even more importantly than the fact that there is inconsistency in the price and that there's no basis that we can make sense of, at the end of the day, whoever's charging that price, that's their business and their prerogative, so to speak. But healthcare is the only place that I can really think of where we go in and blindly buy without any understanding of price. Everything else we shop or we have an understanding, and we're allowed as a consumer to determine what we find valuable. Some people, you know, maybe place a lot of value on a particular car and they're willing to pay that price. And someone else, you know, maybe vehicles aren't my thing, but boy, I like to spend money over here. We all have that choice. And in healthcare, we don't perceive that to be an option, and we just go where we're told and we pay an unknown amount at a later date. And it's really inexcusable. On every level, it is inexcusable that we as consumers do not have a choice. But the reality is we do have a choice, but we are, you know, just really, there's a lack of information to make us aware that we do. So we're just kept in the dark. And the conversations like this are to shed light on that there are choices.
Well, and there was somebody on Facebook that posted his wife was having a baby, and I don't know where they lived. But he called the different hospital providers in his area, and they couldn't give him an answer. Now I get why,
like how much it would cost,
to have a baby, and I get why, because you can have complications, and that can throw it into the millions of dollars. So asking the question can be a little bit difficult, but there should be if you have a normal birth, this is about what you can expect to spend,
right?
And it's so scary. You know, the cost of, I think for consumers, we're scared about what's going to happen that when that bill rolls in. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back from our first break. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. I am in the studio with Kristen Mathers and Colleen McMahon, and we are just having a conversation and learning and being educated here about health insurance, the cost, what options we have, what issues are at hand, some solutions. And it's amazing when we start diving into this really world of insurance. And we were talking before some fears and, you know, some of the issues that we have going on. So as an employer, what do I need to be concerned about? What are those issues that I may face that I don't even know that I face?
Sure. I think the broad word is transparency. And I know right now that's very much a buzzword in anywhere in healthcare. but it really translates well here from the employer perspective, because whatever that employer does, we know darn well whether it's a widget that we make or a service that we provide, we have an obligation to establish our price, disclose our price, and hope that someone finds value and willingness to pay that. And that's how we do business. But then when it comes to providing for our employees and our own healthcare, we sit down at a table and we are given a variety of choices. We really aren't educated. That's not what we do. That's not a core competency. And you establish a relationship with whoever your person is to provide those. But we need a greater awareness so we know that we can ask some of the questions to say, well, is there anything else? And what about this? And another big piece in that is we want to know how that person is paid. Everyone in that's doing business in any way, we're doing it for a reason. There's a monetary exchange there, and we want to make money. So you need to be in a relationship where you know that it's equitable. I don't want to do business with anyone where I suffer and they make more money. And if that's the case, that needs to be disclosed. Exactly. So that part really needs to be transparent. And when you begin there, then I think you really kick the door open to talk about a variety of other things. And so if you're all there for the common good to establish a plan that can be consistent, because there's everybody's changing plans all the time. And folks, if you change a plan, then your folks have to decide if they have to change a doctor, and that's painful. And so it's just all of it's uncomfortable, and no one really likes to do it. So how can we have a conversation about being better educated as a consumer of the plan, whatever we decide makes sense for our companies, and then within those people having choices as well. So we need to be better consumers of price shopping for the plans, and then price shopping for the care that we get within those plans.
But even still, when you say price shopping, you know, my mind goes to, well, if I go to XYZ insurance company, they're going to offer me a gold plan, a silver plan, and a platinum plan. And within that, that's a Pandora's box. I have no idea what's in that plan. I know that there's a deductible. I know that there's, you know, I know the specific risks, and I know, but I don't know, there's no deep dive in terms of how are you going to help me save money. And that's for a fully funded plan. As a self-insured plan, which is the best thing for most employers to do, provided that you have the number of employees that are going to be on that plan, it's usually a better option because you can control your costs in some ways. But even in that type of plan, it's still a Pandora's box. There's still things that the employer is not educated on, of things that they can do to help their employees mitigate costs by getting healthy, and also use the plan in a way that where you're educating your consumers so that they're using the money properly. And you were just saying when we were waiting to come in that the self-employed, self-insured market is the largest consumer of healthcare plans in the country.
It is. It's amazing. The self-insured employer and or even employer-sponsored plans, if you looked at yourself as a buyer rather than through the guise of the insurance company, employers are the collective single purchaser of healthcare in our country. And we need to start to understand the power that that represents. And if that market force becomes educated to the fact that they do have choices, then we can make a shift, a meaningful shift, and it'll make a difference to the employer, the employee, the patient, and even the physicians. The physicians cannot be left out of this conversation. They're often villainized as, you know, why did I get such a big bill? I didn't even see my doctor, what have you. We need to fully understand that they do what they do because they were passionate about helping people. And if they, it's their oath to first do no harm. But then that is, this whole system has created a sense of lack of control for them as well. They want to do the medical decision making. They want to have a relationship with you, and they want to help you without having to worry about what does your plan cover or not cover, or can they afford it, or they do something to you that, you know, they provide you, they get you well, they give you the cover or the care that you need, but unknowingly, whatever billing mechanism that they're associated with has caused you such financial harm that despite the fact that you have insurance, you're in medical bankruptcy. And I think that that's another serious tragedy in this company, is the real fact that the majority of medical bankruptcies in our country today are people who have insurance. That's inexcusable. There's just so many pieces of this that in no other industry would be tolerated. We have to become consumers.
Well, and I think the other thing to your point is the other problem the doctor has is his administrative costs have gone up so much with the billing of insurance and the way it's all segmented out and all these layers of administration, that all these, the healthcare costs have gone up in this country dramatically, yet the doctor's pay has stayed flat. So the doctors aren't the ones benefiting from this. I don't know if anybody's benefiting from it, but they're not the ones that are.
Contrary to what we may absolutely think, because we get a big bill in the mail.
And you think, well, my doctor's really rolling in it.
Right.
And that's not the case. It's
there's administration fees and all of those things.
It's all these layers that are on there that are beyond their control as well. And so it's really about putting control back into the hands of the consumer and having the consumer understand and make an educated choice and putting the education in the hands of the employer so the employer makes an educated choice, and then empowering the doctor to also be a part of that conversation and be a part of that team of working together in order to provide people with the best care possible at the best price.
Ultimately,
and that's what capitalism is. This, what we're dealing with right now, is socialism.
Absolutely. And at the core, if we restore the physician-patient relationship, and then the employer is there as a community member to provide support for how we pay for some of these things, but the delivery of that care is done in a manner that's not, you know, excessive or abusive. And you know, we know that we've had those things happen all across the continuum. But everyone needs to understand their role in the relationship and do it in a healthy way, fiscally, clinically, and community-based.
Yeah, and I love the fact that we're using the term choices, and that's what's so awesome about where we live, and that is why this weekend we're celebrating and honoring those who've given their lives for our freedoms, for our choices, and honoring those families that are left and those who serve for us. And we do want to remember that we do have choices. And in a situation like this, I mean, we don't even want to hear the word socialism. You know, that's just not where we are in our country. And so we want to take control of that. And I love that you guys are so passionate about that. And we are going to talk about some options and things that we can do to do better in this situation. And so as soon as we get back, we'll dive into maybe what some of the solutions are and how we can change some things. Welcome back to the I've Decided Radio Show. We are talking today to Kristen Mathers and Colleen McMahon, and we are, you know, talking about our weekly winning word, revise, which actually means to look over again in order to correct or improve. And I think all of us, I don't care who you are, we know that there is something going wrong with our health insurance right now, whether you are a consumer and you are freaking out because every year your monthly cost is going up, whether you have insurance provided by your company or not, or whether you are the employer who's having to pay these crazy amounts of dollars for health insurance, or if you're a doctor who, you know, the cost is going up, but your paycheck's not going up. I mean, it is just frivolous spending on all circles here, as we were just talking about while we were on the break. And I just wanted, for the listeners, for you guys listening, I wanted you to hear some of this that we were talking about. So I want you to share, what can we do about, you know, what is this frivolous spending that's happening and how can we fix that?
Sure. And it is. Employers particularly are faced every year when those costs come up. It's not if they will, but they will, and how much. And then they make a decision based on how can I reduce benefits and then shift more cost to the employee. None of that is really at the core why we offered benefits to begin with. It was about employee retention, and we wanted to provide value and loyalty within the company. And the employees seek an employer based on those things. And that value is being eroded regularly by frivolous spending. And it does happen on all sides. And so the employers really need to ask those questions we touched on a little bit earlier, need to have a transparent relationship with the person who's providing these services to you and make sure you all have an equitable stake in the game. And then start asking about, you know, where else and how can we shop? How can I educate my employees so that they understand that insurance card that they have is not just an endless credit card with an endless limit, because someone's writing the check to pay that bill. And we're naive if we don't understand that we are all spreading that cost around. and how can we be a little bit more responsible for the spending that we do and accountable for staying healthy so we need to use it less. That's ultimately where it comes down to. And then when we do need to use it, then we want to seek out the best provider, the best value for those services. And whoever you're sitting across the table with talking about whatever that plan is for your company really needs to be able to offer you all choices. And it's really, you know, probably decades ago now, the pharmaceutical companies started putting up billboards, and they're ultimately marketing to us as a consumer to go into the doctor's office and ask a question about a particular medication. Like, hey,
they do
you
it
know,
on TV all the time.
Exactly.
And then the warnings are for severe death.
Right. Right. So
You're going to die, but take this drug.
Right. So similarly, I think we need to start marketing to the employers and to the patients to say, when you sit down and talk about your healthcare plan, whatever that is, let's talk about something else. Don't just talk about this limited set of choices. But what about if I direct contract, if I'm an employer, what if I direct contract with a physician or a facility to say, you know, especially if I'm self-insured, she's right that this is the great model for these self-insured or employers with enough people and that can want to take some control. But if you're going to take control, take more of the control and understand all your options. There's a lot of doctors out there that just want to treat patients and they don't want to deal with the bureaucracy and the red tape, and they could reduce frivolous spending by reducing their office staff, having high quality employees who can provide more clinical care rather than administrative care, and they'll deal directly with an employer and say, look, if you send your folks here and I know that I don't have to go through endless miles of red tape in order to treat your patient when it's appropriate, let's talk about the price. You pay me up front with less bureaucratic red tape, and here's your price. And I think you'll be shocked at the savings that you'll see.
Well, on the break, you were saying that administrative costs have gone up 3,000% while the doctor's bill or the doctor's paycheck has gone flat. And I think that on the frivolous spending side of things, the other thing is that we're not talking to the employee or anybody, the consumer, about what they're eating and how it impacts their health. And when you look at food, you should be looking at it in terms of nutritious value. How is this going to prolong my life? And there are certain foods that kill you, albeit slowly, and there are certain foods that prolong life. And we should be having a conversation about how do we prolong life. And, you know, the food industry has marketed to us to program us that we want to have diet this and skinny that, and that, you know, we want low fat. And low fat is garbage. Fat doesn't make you fat. Sugar makes you fat. Meanwhile, the sugar lobby has gone into the government, and the government subsidizes sugar. That would be subsidizing vegetables and taxing sugar, because you want to encourage the behavior you want to see. And what we're doing is we're encouraging people to eat junk food and then spend a bunch of money in health care that they don't have. And if we just flip the model and help people understand food is nutrition, and this is how my body can work for me. I mean, you wouldn't take your car and go put sugar in the gas tank. You wouldn't put the wrong fuel in. And all these people are putting wrong fuel in their bodies, and they don't understand that that's frivolous spending, because you're either going to pay for good food now or you're going to pay for healthcare later.
Right. And then the other thing is, you know, is that there are some of us who take care of ourselves and some of us who are healthy and eat well. But my insurance costs the same as, so I'm a 47-year-old woman, and they don't care how healthy I am. They put me in a pool that says you're 47. And based on the average 47-year-old's health, here's what you pay. Now, that's where what you're talking about, Kristen.
Well, and the other thing
average health.
Well, it used to be that insurance was founded on the concept that it's the 80-20 rule, that, you know, 20% of any group of people, and this is in any case, and if you're insuring ships going across the ocean, the odds are that you're going to have everybody pools their money so that one catastrophe happens. Not everybody's ship is going to go down the same year or the same month or the same. So it's a rolling target. Well, the same was true with health insurance, but because we're encouraging such bad behavior and we're subsidizing sugar and it's cheap and drive-thrus are cheap and we're all about fast and convenient in this country, we're putting bad fuel in our bodies the long-term effects are detrimental, but we're starting to see it at younger and younger ages. So now you're the 47-year-old pool of 10 years ago looks nothing like the 47-year-old pool of today. So your rates keep going up and everybody else's rates keep going up because everybody's sicker and sicker. And it's not 20%, the 80% or the 100% feeding the 20%. It's the 20% feeding the 80%.
And back to exactly what we're talking about. It's about choices. It's about to say that I should have a choice. I should get a safe driver's discount. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I should, because I get up at 4:30 in the morning and run, I should get a discount on my insurance. Really?
Right.
I believe that
and
I
we,
should.
We and charge we, more for smokers, so we know that they're, that that's a detriment. We should be taking biometric screenings, mm-hmm. and the health insurance should be health insurance. It shouldn't be about... what do we do once you get sick? It should be more about how do we make sure you don't get sick and preserve a quality of life and have better outcomes? Because if we're really going to do this and we're really concerned about people and we're really concerned about your well-being, then we should be concerned about your well-being from the beginning to the end.
And employers are going to have to give that responsibility back a little bit. We're going to talk some more after the break. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show today. I hope that you are enjoying what you're hearing and that you're getting some information and education that's just going to help you, you know, decide to do something. And I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this. And really, I have decided that I want to change what's happening in our healthcare world. I want to be a part of the solution. And I know many of our listeners, people are listening. You guys want to be a part of the solution. We don't want to see our country go broke because of
or
organizations close because they can't afford the health insurance for their employees. And or employers like myself who would give anything to be able to provide health insurance for my employees, but I can't because it's out of my, I don't have the budget for it. So just so many things, you know, so many reasons. So we've decided we want to change some things. We want some options. So Colleen, you get, tell us, what are some of those options?
All right, there's great options. And I think I want to make it very, very clear that there is no sector that doesn't have a choice. So 1 in 3 people in the United States right now is covered by a self-funded employer. So those self-funded employers probably have access to the greatest amount of change that they can do that won't be available necessarily at certain levels, but there is still something that the fully funded employers and the uninsured market, which is what you're talking about, Kim, all have choices. They're slightly different pathways, but all have choices. And I think, you know, that anyone who likes what they hear here really needs to get in touch and talk, learn more about that. The self-funded market, there's the Free Market Medical Association. Educate, learn more, and get in touch with us about how to access those changes. If you're fully funded, let's start talking about the choices that you can, particularly with what Kristen's talking about. You need to just get your people healthy and start to talk about how you as a collective group of employees and employers together start to change your culture and stop the frivolous spending on all sides to reduce your own healthcare cost. If you don't have insurance at all, if you're an employer that you feel it's cost prohibitive and it's difficult to retain employees, that's an expense too. Stop letting it be dictated to you where you spend your money. And right now they're making you spend money on turnover. Pull that in, say, I've decided to change healthcare for my company, and talk to us about what those options are. There's a variety of community and healthcare cost sharing options available to you also that for the first time ever is available to group employers and is a real game changer in our community.
Yeah. And I think if you put, it's got to be a group discussion, you know, it shouldn't be going in to with your broker or whomever's selling you insurance and saying, okay, well, I've got a, my costs went up, so now I've got to decrease something here, what I'm offering. And we're saying, let's go to a different path. Instead of just looking at that plan, let's look at how we bundle together a multitude of options that put choices into the employee's hands so that they feel empowered and so that they're making an educated decision and that they're, that permeates everything. And let's look at it as healthcare. Not sick care, but health care. And the current system is sick care. It's not health care. And if we're going to look at it as health care, we're going to start creating cultures that are healthy cultures. And we're going to start thinking about how do we cultivate healthy minds? How do we make sure that employees come to work happy and feeling good and not cranky? And, you know, that relates back to all kinds of wellness things. That relates back to I've decided in mental health. That relates back to what they put in their body for dinner, breakfast, and how they slept. And that also relates back to how great of care and how empowered they feel. You know, if they've got a sick kid at home and they feel like they can't afford to go to the doctor for the sick kid, that puts them in a bad mood. So let's take it back and let's give the power to the people.
I love it. The power to the people. That's what it's all about.
And let's start educating them on where their power lies and help them make more informed choices so it becomes a team effort that we can solve this together. And there's, like Colleen said, there's many different paths and there's many different options. And I do think that if you are the small employer that doesn't have health care for your employers right now, just showing them that you care and that you have put aside some money for something to start offering them something in terms of a wellness benefit. And we're good at putting those packages together as well.
Absolutely. And the employer also needs to understand that, you know, the value is being eroded, what the benefit that they're providing. And then if you can collaborate now with your employees and say, look, if we work together to be better consumers of healthcare, how can we reduce the company's spend here and put it into other things that those employees wish they had? Whether it's a dollar in their paycheck or a benefit or healthcare matching dollars or, you know, new equipment in the office that makes their jobs easier. You know, help, we need to improve the economic state of these employers. They are the driving force of this country and we can't put them out of business because of their healthcare spend. Well, and no place, I want to make sure that before we lose anything, don't leave your doctor out of this equation. We need the physicians to understand. Please get in touch with us also because patients need doctors. Doctors need patients. We need those relationships. We need our physicians in this country to like their jobs and want to advance medicine and stay excited about their careers. And there are options for you too. We're just oppressed on every aspect of our healthcare decision making and there are choices. Get in touch.
Mm-hmm. And people want to change.
Yes. Yes.
This is,
oh, people
want to
be healthy.
I bank my life on this. This is why I've decided is here. It's why we created I've Decided, because we believe that people deeply want to change. People deeply want to be better. I believe people and being healthy is one of those changes that people want to. So these employees who are unhealthy, they really want to be healthy. They desire to be healthy. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be unhealthy today.
Well, or I want to feel like garbage. I want to drag all day long and want to go to sleep and can't wait till I get home.
No.
Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to wake up feeling good.
Right. And they also don't go to work and say, I'm just going to spend this weekend spending all of my employer's profits at the emergency room. None of them do that. Like, I don't want a bonus. Let me go waste healthcare dollars.
Right.
We just don't understand.
It's like that. Although that's what we're slightly doing.
Exactly.
We
because we're not aware.
We just don't understand and we're not aware. But that's what we're saying in a package that you can provide and are the solutions that you are offering. You're saying we can fix that issue. We can not only help reduce the cost that you're paying for healthcare, we can put more money in your employer and employee's pocket, but then we can also help you improve your retention by showing your employee that you care and helping them achieve the goals that they deeply desire to achieve anyway, like being healthier or whatever behavior change.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, I get chills. I love it. I'm so excited.
Absolutely.
I hope you guys are as excited as me. Hey, you can reach out to us. In fact, just, you know, send me an email, kim@ivedecided.org, and I will get you in touch with Kristen and Colleen. Be on the lookout. We are going to do some free little workshops to continue on this conversation. And check us out, ivedecided.org. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?